We've been spending times in Sundays in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is good to those of us who are reading the Bible or studying the Bible to always go back and reacquaint yourself with the fact of that the same Jesus who right now sits on the right hand of the Father was down here walking on earth. And what is unique concerning him, not only is he God in the flesh, but in his humanity, amen, that never took away from his deity, but his humanity, he was always about the business of teaching and instructing. It wasn't some abstract rote precepts that he was giving out, but it was specific about teaching things that for principles of life. And then there is this place where Christ took special pains, if you will, to gather together his disciples, whom later would be the ones who would go out for him in a specific way. And by virtue of what he talked to him about among them. And again, if you read the life of Christ and you read his interaction with the disciples, not the 70 and not the curiosity seekers, not even sometimes the 12, I know they wound up to the 3, but the 12, those 12 who he put aside, save one, and we'll mention that in a minute. And he put them aside because he wanted them to see him in 3D. What I mean by that is this, that as they watched him do miracles and heal the sick, raise the dead, and teach others, the crowds and the multitudes, he had a specific work that was ahead for them. And he knew what his mission was. And consequently, he wanted to leave them with something. They had a lot of baggage, but he wanted to unpack some things before he left. And so these are one of these precious and intimate moments that we have before us, because at this time, the Feast of the Passover is close, one of the sacred feasts of the Jews. And at that time approached, the people, the Jews, would begin to prepare themselves for this specific feast day. And this particular Passover was unique in the respect that even though they held it every year at the same time of the year, this was unique because the Passover was there. Yes, maybe you missed that. They held the Feast of the Passover. That's when they killed the lamb and, amen, slayed it, and the families got together and remembered God's deliverance of them from Egypt. This is why they held it. But this is different because on this day, this time, this moment here, the real Passover was there. And at that moment, what they would do in preparation, they would go to a place of cleansing. They would get themselves ready by cleaning themselves up, so to speak. They had ceremonial ways in which they prepared themselves for these feast days. They were occasions that were reminiscent again of God's deliverance for his people, that he told them that he wanted them to rehearse every year, not only to give them history, but also for their family, so that the people, their families, would ask the grown-ups in the house, the parents, the forefathers, and ask them, what is it that you do? Why are you holding this? I see y'all go about this every year. And that would give opportunity for them to place into the minds and the hearts of their children what God did for them. And so this day, Christ was here in what we call the upper room. The Lord Jesus and them, having pulled them aside, the days are past now. And even though this is the Gospel of John, the other synoptic gospels give occasions to write about this, John has his own unique kinds of things that are not in the others. And so the Lord Jesus is here with his disciples, and the Bible says in verse 1, it says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come and he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And as I read that, I noticed how John, who was the writer, but the Holy Spirit is the author. He's the one who gave John what to write. And as I read this, and I read the narrative, that means that sometimes the writer is writing about what someone said, and sometimes he even speaking certain things himself, but again, not free to speak what he wants. But also, he starts to keep us going with the story or the account. So as he writes this, he says, now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which are in the world, he loved them to the end, and supper being ended. Are y'all following me here? In other words, he puts that in there as he starts to tell us what's going on. He puts that in there to give us a framework of Christ's mindset here. He knows what's coming up. The disciples are semi-aware of this because even when Christ told them what was happening, particularly when it comes to his crucifixion, they didn't catch it on. They didn't catch it sometimes. In fact, a lot of things they didn't catch as he taught them. And so the writer starts to give them us to peer into. Again, let me read it one more time. Now, before the feast of the Passover, watch. When Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. You see, he put that in there. He put that parenthetical. He put that phrase. He put that narrative in there to just give us to know what was on Jesus' mind. He's thinking about, not, it doesn't mention the cross because he's not looking at the cross here, even though he's facing the cross down the road. He's looking at the fact he's going back to his Father. There's no doubt that he's getting up. It's no doubt. He said he's going, he didn't say he's going back to heaven. He's going back to the Father. Because this is what John brings out to us, the relationship that he has with him and the Father, and what he seeks to bring into these disciples and finally even those who will believe in him later to understand. But here, Christ knows what's ahead. And notice that as he does this, as he fellowship with them, this is an intimate time. This is an intimate occasion. The crowd's gone. They're gone. He's preparing them for his leaving. He's about to go. He's about to go back to the Father, and he knows he's going to lead them on earth. They're not going with him right away. So what he needs to do and he has to do is prepare them for when he's physically no longer there. The Comforter is going to come, but that's going to take something before he happens to come down for them later on. But so Christ here is sitting with them, and he says, in the supper being ended, and notice now another narrative. The devil, having now put into the heart of Jesus Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Now, this is not talking about Simon Peter. No, Simon was Judas' father's name. This is Simon's son. And Judas was one of the 12, but he wasn't. But again, you see how the writer, how the Spirit of God has John just give us this setup. He's setting it up for us so we can appreciate what's happening. This is indicative of how it should be, not in church, but with the church. I'm going to say that again. This is how it should be, not just in church, but with the church. When I say in church, I mean that's where you go to meet together. But with the church, that means the people who are saved, you are the church. And you are not members over just Beulah or Calvary or other places. You are members who are saved of the body of Christ. And you are the church. And you are a community of people. You are the family of God. And so here, Christ pulls aside those specific people who are being prepared for a specific work. And so what the writer does, he gives us to give it. And again, he says, and Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. All this Christ knows about. So what he does here, and let me just lay it out for you just for a moment, because this is a cultural distinction. Usually when we have supper, you know, we're up to table. We have a table, we have a chair, we sit it down in the chairs, and, you know, then we eat our meal. But this is another culture. And the reason why I said it, because when you see what Jesus does, it's important to understand the scenario. See, when they are eating, And these particular specific supper like this, they are reclining. In other words, the table is not up like this. It's a low table, and they lean over or recline on the table with one of their arms like this. And all around the table, everyone is leaning into the table, a low table, and the meal is in the table. Are y'all following me here? So when it says, and he rises from supper and lay aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself, I need to understand that how they're there. They're reclining. They're eating this personal meal, this supper, which, again, it's the Last Supper. Watch. It's the Last Supper. And why is it the Last Supper? Because the other ones was a supper. The other one was Passover. But this is the Last Supper. Today, we're going to take communion. Today, we're going to take communion. This is called the table of the Lord. We call it the supper of the Lord. And we call it Holy Communion. Amen? But this meal here was preceding this. In other words, they had two meals. They had a meal that was an intimate meal, and then they had the other one, which we call the Last Supper. But this is the Last Supper because this is the last time Christ is going to physically be with these people. The disciples, their future, going to be the apostle. And so it's meaningful. He knows the significance of it. They really fully don't. And also, not only that, but also something occurs here, because as they begin to prepare themselves for this meal, there is something that's going on here that's not right. In other words, things are not going to be intimate until the traitor is gone. In other words, there's somebody in the group. There's 12 of them. There's 12 of them. There's 12 folks at the meal. And this meal, and watch it now. And there's always a time when somebody might come in who didn't get an invitation. But see, this person was invited. He was invited to meal. But the reason why he was invited is because in the providence of God, number one, he had to play a role in the betrayal of Christ. And number two, he already had something in his heart that the devil took advantage of. Let me just put it this way. He was a thief and a liar. And that's right. That was his character. And because that was his character, that gave place to the devil to take advantage of it. Now what? You don't have to be possessed by the devil to be a thief. But your thievery can give impetus to the devil using you for some deep, dark things. Here it is, Judas is at the table. Amen. He knows what's up. And Christ knows what's going on. But the others around the table, they're not aware of this happening. This is what's going on. Anytime you see this is mentioned about Judas, it's a narrative. Meaning the writer spells it out, but the others are not aware. They don't know what's going on with this. And as they do, and they're around the table, Christ gets up, and the Bible says, watch it now, he rises from supper, lays aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. That means he got up, and he took aside his outer garment. Now, to what degree, in terms of his other garment, the Bible says he laid aside his garments. Then he took a towel, a linen cloth. And he girded, that means he tied it around his waist. Girded means to tie it around his waist, but also the word gird means to make yourself in readiness. Because he's about to do something for them that he needs them to get. Can I say that again? He got them all together. And he waits for this moment, not just because this is the Last Supper, but he needs them to get this before he goes. And so after that, he girds himself and that he pours water in the basin and begins to wash his disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. And then something struck me. Now, everybody's eating, they're fellowshipping, they're supping together. That's the word. They're supping together. And so they're supping together, and they're reclined on the table, probably talking to one another, you know, looking across, nothing unsolemn. And then all of a sudden, Jesus gets up. Now, he doesn't say anything. Can you get there? He doesn't say anything. He just gets up. And if you were there, I know if I was there and I was thinking about it, he gets up and he starts to gird himself. And they're probably saying, what? You know, are you with me here? He didn't say anything. He just gets up. And his Bible says, and he get up, he girded himself, and then watch it now. He wipes the feet of the disciple. And can you imagine again? He gets up right there reclining. Then he walks around each one of them, and he took this basin, this water basin. He takes this linen cloth, and he starts to wash their feet and then wipe it. And again, I don't know about you, but I don't see nobody saying nothing but Peter. I'll get back to that in a minute. So they're washing him. He's washing his feet. Now, let me just throw you a little cultural scenario because, see, only the servant, and this is a thing of servitude. What would happen is that when someone would go to someone's house, right, and you were the host would have the servant to show hospitality. Now, if it's only the person, the host of the house there, he would still have to demonstrate some hospitality. And one of the things we do, because of the late land in which they live, if you walk any distance, your feet would get dirty. And so when you walked in the house, the host would have to show, it would be inhospitable for him to allow you to come in there, not because he thought you were going to get his place dirty, but because you were to wipe their feet to demonstrate you being a good host. And so when Jesus got up, they were already in the room. But when Jesus got up and started to wipe their feet, first of all, he was showing them how good a host he was. Yes, y'all ain't get it yet. Y'all didn't get it yet. He was showing them how good a host. But that's not the point. Sometimes people take things from what Christ did and you make it into what was not his intention primarily. He began to wash their feet, and he wanted to catch their attention. Now watch this here. Then he cometh to Simon Peter. And Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And I can't get the intonation, but the writer John says, then cometh he to Simon Peter. That means what? He started going around the table, and what? Then he comes to Simon Peter. There's a reason why he said it that way. That's right, because it's like you know it is. You got a whole group of people, and then there's always somebody in the group. That's right. You know what I'm saying? In other words, so-and-so. And then he had the nerve to say something to so-and-so. In other words, so he comes to Simon Peter. Watch this here. And Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Now, that way he says it is not an inquiry. I do not think it's an inquiry because what's said, that means he's not saying perplexly in the sense of, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? No, no, no. He is saying it as if he's almost reproving the Lord. In other words, Lord, do you wash my feet? Now, let me ask you a question, since everybody here is sitting all sediddy. Let me ask you a question. If you were there, and the one who healed the sick, raised the dead, opened up blind eyes, opened up deaf ears, you saw him raise a couple of people from the dead, all right, he turned water into wine, raised a man who was lame 38 long years. If you were there and you were in this upper room and none of y'all lived there, and all of a sudden he got up and he started washing the feet. You know what? I probably, if I was there, I would have said, hey, wait a minute, Matthew. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The Lord has no business. Matthew, you get over there and wash those feet. Yes, sir. Andrew, what you doing over here? You see what Jesus is doing. Go help the Lord out and wash it. Y'all ain't hear what I'm saying. Bartholomew, what is it? What's the matter with you? Y'all ain't showing no respect. Here it is, the rabbi, the Lord, our master, the one who taught us everything, the one who all crowd follow. What in the why are we laying here? But then nobody moves. But Jesus gets to Peter, and I don't know where Peter was still laying down. I don't know, he did like this, and the Lord get ready to wash his feet, and Peter tried to stop him in his tracks, and he said to Jesus, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And before we jump on, even though we're going to see how Christ deals with it, I might have had the same thing in my, you know what, let me just put it this way. There's sometimes when someone says something what everybody else is thinking. Are y'all with me here? How many teachers we got in here? See, how many parents we got in here? In other words, usually sometimes the group offers up one person. That means they don't know what's happening. They got a question and they want to say something, but they don't want to look like they don't know nothing. So what? So you wait for somebody to say what you want to say. Ain't that right? And then when they said, oh, why you ask something stupid like that?